The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron. You are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's May 1st, 2023. Wow, it's May already. To be rebroadcast on May 3rd, 2023 at irregular times on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment below, and we will try to get back to you. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment and you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can just send us a little note right down here, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. We're recording our shows now on Monday using Facebook Live and then playing at our normal times on Wednesday at 11 a.m. at WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Did you know? Well, I'll get to that in just a second. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, or FMRadioFree.com. So there's all sorts of places you can check us out. Ron's Rant of the Week. What's with our weather, Fran?
Oh,
jeez.
Oh, don't even get me started.
It has been, you know, I hate to complain about the weather, but, you know, it's been like rainy, cold.
It's been lecho.
Like, not great cycling weather. But, you know what? Whatever. You get things done around your house because you
cycling.
Stay in all weekend. And Fran's been zwifting the daylights out of the bike downstairs.
Yeah, three days in a row. Zwift, zwift, zwift.
She's a dedicated Zwifter.
Yeah.
So, and let's see, what else do I have here on a rant of the week? Cars are dirty, dangerous, and not very good at their job of getting people from place to place. So why do Americans love them so much? Cars are useful. For proof, look no further than the 290 million vehicles traveling on American roads, more than one for every adult. Driving them also drains our finances, increases the time we spend in traffic, and puts us at risk of crashes and poisons in the air. Isn't it great? I just love this. So anyway... There's always something to rant about when it comes to cars. It's just what it is. Let's move on to a positive side. We'll get away from those things. We like bikes, not cars. Coming soon. It's not coming soon. It's here. May is National Bike Month. Yes, siree. This week's show will feature some of the things you can do to celebrate. Let's think about that. Hey, how about just riding your bike? That's a nice idea. And anyway, what else do we have on a positive side? This is so cool. If you have not seen this yet, this is a cool thing. The annual Bicycles on Maine started today, May 1st, in Wethersfield, Connecticut. If you haven't seen it yet, the creative team at the Explore Old Wethersfield, this is the Old Wethersfield Shopkeepers Association, have come up with another winning event that brings people in from all over. If you have ever been to their scarecrows along Maine, then you'll know this is kind of a big deal. Spring is on its way along with National Bike Month. So from May 1st until May 31st, on a beautiful spring day, you can come and visit the heart of Old Wethersfield Historic District and see decorated bicycles in front of colonial homes, museums, and local shops and restaurants and businesses all on one walkable, bikeable street. Very cool thing. If you haven't seen it yet, it's certainly worth checking out. They have a, I have a Facebook photo on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page. You can kind of click there and see, get a rough idea about what's going on there. Another thing that I throw out there too, if you're going to be in the Hartford area anyway, then it's a great time to go to the State Historical Society and check out the bicycle game at the Historical Society. Another very cool thing to do during May Bike Month. We'll get into more stuff in the show. Mechanical Minute and Cycling Tips. Six reasons why your bicycle tire won't inflate. Why do I bring this up now? Well, I'll tell you why I bring this up now. Because there are so many people that are just getting around to, and it's not probably most of my listeners, but it happens. There are so many people, and it might be your neighbor, it might be your cousin, it might be your uncle, your aunt, it might be your parents. You never know who it's going to be, but it's probably someone out there who has not looked at their bicycle since last fall. And so what do? They go to ride their bike and their tires are flat. Surprise. Okay, the tires have they're very thin. The tubes are very thin in the tires, and because of that, they tend to leach out a little bit, and then by the time you get on your bike in the spring, guess what? Your tires are flat. And so why won't your bicycle tires inflate? There are six reasons why your bicycle tire may not inflate properly. You may be using the wrong head on your pump for your valve stem style. There's Presta valves, there's Schrader valves, there's Woods valves if you go way back in time. So you want to make sure that that's good. Your valve stem might be damaged and there could be a puncture in your tire. Your pump could be damaged, or you are going tubeless and it's possible the bead may not have set correctly, and now everything just leached out, so you have to start all over again. So these things happen. So if it's the same pump that you've used in the past all the time, you haven't made any changes, then maybe you're not putting it on quite right or whatever. But I would look at that very carefully. The other great thing to do is to call up somebody who knows bicycles, someone who inflates their tires on a regular basis. So like I said, if let's say it's your neighbor, and your neighbor goes, "Hey, I'm trying to put air on my tires," just go over and be friendly, be helpful, help them figure it out. That's a good thing. Now, a lot of things can happen because it could be the valve might be broken off, the Presta valves. I see people break them all the time. That's a problem. Sometimes the Presta valves have a replaceable valves on them and they get slightly unscrewed and then it won't hold air. So there you have a little problem there too. There's a lot of little things that can happen. But if you've got a local neighborhood bike guy floating around, you could probably get an answer to that pretty quickly. So I would definitely look at that. Could be your pump, okay? Yeah, pumps, they need maintenance like everything else needs maintenance. So it could be the fact that the rubber gaskets in the head of the pump that you put onto the valve might be worn out. So you might want to check that out. That's a possibility. And then you're going to have to go to the bike shop and say, "Hey, I need one of these." And you'll pull the pieces out and you'll show it to them. Or you just bring the whole pump in, let them figure it out. So it could be that. That's a possibility. It could be the hose going from the pump to the tire, maybe old and cracked and be leaking. That's a possibility too. Once again, needs to get replaced. Those are just simple things. But the big one, the one I see all the time, is that there is a giant gasket in the inside of your pump, and it is either made out of a synthetic material, or if you go back to the good old Silica floor pumps, which, what a great pump. What a great pump. I have one. Yes, I do. It's one of the best pumps ever made, and that's in my honest opinion. And it has a leather gasket in the inside. So that leather gasket gets dried out, and then it doesn't work, and then you gotta, because it won't get any suction in the inside. So you gotta pull it out, put some nice, new, fresh lithium grease on it, wipe off all the old stuff first, make sure that it's nice and clean, and re-lubricate your leather gasket, and it'll work like brand new. It's unbelievable. Or sometimes the leather gaskets wear out. But pretty rare on those pumps. Those things seem to last forever. So anyway, let's see, moving on. What else? Valve stem damage. They already covered that. We already talked about that. There might be a puncture in your tire. When you were riding your bike the last time, Was it losing air rapidly before you pulled it into the garage, barn, etc., or the bedroom, if you're really kind and personal to your bike? It just may be that. You know, you might have a flat tire, so you might have to pull it apart, take a look, pull the tube out, investigate everything in the inside. You know, it's a bit of an ordeal, but it sure is nice to do this like yesterday, because yesterday it poured out. So it was raining out all day long. What a great time to work on your bike, check things out, right when you're not going to ride it. And then, of course, when you go to ride it, your bike's ready to go. So that's a good thing. Also, your local bike shop is more than happy to work on your bike right now. But I'm telling you right now, I have been visiting the local bike shops, and they're all way behind. They might be able to fit in a flat tire or two, but I wouldn't rely on that right now. And you might want to just, you know, get it down to your local bike shop, let them fix it up before the sun comes out. But today the sun's out, so too late. Anyway, these are the reasons. That's what it is. And then, of course, when you do go to inflate your tires, you want to look and see what the PSI is, the air per square inch on the tire, and you want to inflate it to the proper level. You want to inspect the tires before you inflate them and make sure that there's no major cracks in the rubber or that the sidewalls aren't dried out. There's a bunch of things to look at. There's a whole bunch of stuff to do. But anyway, that's what you do. That's what you do with that bicycle. And then get out and ride it. Have a good time. Weather's turning. It's getting nice. Flowers are out. Beautiful. It's May. It's beautiful. And that brings us back to, back this one out, back to our screen. And we will move on to the content of the show. So this is one of those times where I have to talk about a milestone event. And it was a year ago, this past weekend, that I went out on a 30-mile bicycle ride with my friends. It's a beautiful ride. It's up in Pomfret. It goes up into Woodstock. It's gorgeous.
1 year ago or two?
2 years ago. 2 years ago. Sorry. See, time flies. Time flies. It was 2 years ago that I was out on that ride, and I had a tremendous amount of difficulty climbing a hill. And upon finally getting up to the top of that hill, because I had to stop and catch my breath, I continue with the ride. Probably not the smartest thing to do, but, you know, because I was only a mile and a half in, I could have just gone back to the car, gone home, and been done with it. But instead, I did the ride, struggled on a bunch of hills, got through it, and then off we went to the urgent care, because something just wasn't right at all. It just didn't seem right. Well, sure enough, after the initial investigation of, your heart's fine, looks great, but we're going to schedule you, because of family history, we're going to schedule for some more tests. I ended up, 5 days later, 6 days later, in the heart unit at the University of Connecticut in Farmington. So, and I was diagnosed with 4 clogged arteries, 2 at 98%, 2 at 80%. 298s. One of them was the Widowmaker. Not good. Anyway, family history. Thanks, Dad. That was my dad's side of the family. Actually, it's my mom's side of the family, too, because my uncle Art also ended up at 42. He passed away when he was out, very athletic guy, when he was outside splitting wood, of all things, and didn't feel right. Went in, laid down, died. Boom. Gone. So I have heart disease on both sides of my family. If you have heart disease on either side of your family, or even a minor indication of it, my thing to tell you is to encourage you to get it checked out right away. First of all, you should always inform your doctor that I have family history, you know, and hopefully they'll schedule you for a test, which could get you to the point where they figure out what's going on inside of you. Now, if the other thing I can encourage you to do is ride your bike. Because, you know what? It's cardiovascular exercise. It's really good for you. And my heart is completely wrapped in all sorts of funky little arteries that are like a little safety net around my heart. So that's why I didn't sustain any major damage or have a heart attack of any kind. But anyway, some people are not so lucky. But ride your bike. Ride your bike. Ride it often. Don't forget to ride your bike. Oh, and you know what? You should ride your bike. So, warning signs to watch for. We're going to just go over this because I think this is kind of important. It's not kind of important. It's very important. I have more people that I know over the last 2 years that have ended up having heart issues. Not quite sure why it seems to be so epidemic, but maybe it's my age. Could be. I'm an old guy, and that's a possibility. But things that you should, the five things that you that deserve attention: pain in the chest, particularly if it comes and goes with exertion. Guess what? I had no pain in my chest, not a bit, and I was on the edge of no longer being. So never know. Shortness of breath. Ha, there you go. That is unusual for you, not just normal gasping at the end of a hard effort. And that's exactly what happened. It wasn't a hard effort. I was a mile and a half into a ride. I hadn't even warmed up yet, and I was gasping for air and to the point where I actually had to come to a complete stop, collect myself, get my breath back, and then get back onto the bike. So the shortness of the breath was mine. That was my big indicator right there. Lightheadedness or blacking out while riding. Well, that would be a terrible thing, blacking out while you're riding. That's not good at all. Not usually after a race when you stop, but while exerting yourself, that's a pretty serious problem. Unexplained fatigue. I'm always tired. I don't know if I can explain it in any other way than I play a lot, so therefore I'm going to be tired a lot. And then palpitations, the feeling that your heart beat is abnormally fast or hard or irregular.
Or you can feel it in your chest.
And you can actually feel it in your chest, like it's pounding in your chest. So these are things that you need to watch out for. Words of wisdom from cardiologists. So what about heart rate monitors? When it comes to the technology, these two cardiologists that are part of this article, they disagree a bit on what cyclists should do. Being, you know, a nerd like me, I wear a heart rate monitor. I've been wearing one for a really, really long time. I swear by them. I sometimes swear at them. But most of the time, I'm pretty in tune to what's going on with my heart and what's going on in my body. By the way, I had a heart rate monitor on when I ran into my shortness of breath issue. Guess what? Didn't matter. My heart rate was fine. It was just I couldn't breathe. So heart rate alone is just one of many factors at play. There's also stroke volume, which can increase or decrease separate of a heart rate. Also, your heart is an amazing thing that is constantly adjusting to demand and conditions. So just seeing numbers jump around on a heart rate monitor isn't necessarily something to worry about, but whatever your indication that something may be out of whack, either the feeling in your chest or a number on your Garmin or your Wahoo computer, an easy way to decrease symptoms could be just go easy for a while, see how you feel. Yeah, that would be a good thing. So for much of these rhythm problems that are occurring, the best treatment is just to back off. Give your body and the heart some time to rest. That's definitely a good idea. As a rider, it's... this is easier said than done, isn't it? It's true. So if you're experiencing any of these five symptoms above that I just talked about, you really can't hurt to see a doctor. And besides, it's probably nothing. Or it could be something. For me, it was a major something. Fran and I were getting ready to go to Florida to go visit her mother for Mother's Day, and we had our trip all planned out, all set to go, and my cardiologist looked at me and said, "Could you please not go to Florida?" He said, "I just would not want to see you in the care of anyone in Florida if your condition is what I think it is."
Well, and you would get stuck there.
And then you get stuck there, and then you'll be in an insurance nightmare. And you'd be, you know, you're in hands of people that may not treat you the same way as your local doctor would. So there's certainly a lot of good reasons why you want to cancel a trip.
Or we would have had to fly you home, and God forbid you would have had something happen on the plane.
And I didn't. So I'm good. So I'm good. Yeah, I got the big the big crack. They opened up my chest. They looked inside. They basically kind of put you on life support and fix you and put you back together again. It's not an exciting thing. You know what? It was much more exciting to race my bike.
And I got palpitations from that.
And then Fran went into freak mode, so we had to deal with Fran, which I didn't really need to deal with Fran. I kind of needed to deal with what was going on here. But that's okay. That's okay. That's what we did. So let's move on from that. I just want you to understand that, you know, I talked to a gentleman this morning at the community center, and I told him about how he said, well, what's going to be on today's show? And I said, well, my landmark event is going to be on today's show. And he looked at me funny because he's kind of new to me. He hasn't known me for a long time. And he and his wife were standing there, and I explained it to them. And he was like, oh, my God. I said, got any family history? And he goes, oh, yeah, I got family history. I said, wouldn't it hurt to get checked? And I said, maybe nothing, but you know what? Doesn't hurt to get checked. You want to check and make sure. You want to be able to let them take a look inside and see what's going on. They do some really cool stuff. You know, they've got this echocardiogram thing where they go inside and, well, they don't go inside. They're on the outside with like this wand and they look around. They can see your heart in a three-dimensional way. They can see the valves. It's kind of cool. It's kind of a cool thing. But, of course, my echo came out perfect, crystal clear, no problem. It's once I got on the treadmill that I was told that things were looking rather grim. So anyway, again, if you have any history, definitely want to check it out. Yeah, I know you're fit. I know you ride your bike all the time. So did I. So do I. But you know what? It's worth a check. And quite honestly, if insurance wasn't involved, you probably should get checked every year for this. That would be my recommendation. I find that the key to getting them to pay attention, them being the medical industry, to pay attention is when you mention that those two very, very strong words, family history, they're usually okay about getting you scheduled for a treadmill test because why not? Why not? So what? You think you're all fit and ready to go? I was. Big surprise. So I will probably continue through year to year to year and tell people every year about my event right around this time of year because this is incredible. I wouldn't be here right now if it weren't for this. Or I would be here, but I wouldn't be in a very good state. Anyway, no heart attack. Good news is cardiovascular exercise completely saved my life, and my bicycle is, once again, it's everything that it is, could be, and always will be. It's just a great thing, so the bike is a good thing. Let's move on as far as talking about bikes. Let's go on to May is Bike Month. Yes, it is. So in 2023, we are celebrating, this comes directly from the bikeleague.org, League of American Bicycles. They're celebrating ways to hashtag bike there, one word, during National Bike Month and National Bike Ride a Bike Day on May 7th, 2023. There are so many ways to celebrate Bike Month and to hashtag bike there. During Bike to Work Week and Day, biking to coffee or around the block and riding May 7th for hashtag Bike Day. So that's a big thing. You want to go to the bikeleague.org and check out events for Bike Month, and you'll see that there's a bunch of stuff going on. So It's all about driving less and biking more. Just to give you an idea, last year, the League of American Bicyclists and Love to Ride challenged you to transform 1 million car miles into bike miles. And basically, the members of League of American Bicyclists beat the target by a whopping 500,000 miles. Be part of the league's goal to help inspire more people and see the bike for all its possibilities, fitness, transportation, for fun. So anyway, if you go to the League of American Bicyclists, you can click on there, log in, register with them, and, you know, become part of the revolution of change. Have you heard me say this before? I think so. Did you know that nearly half of the trips in the United States are under 3 miles? That's less than 20-minute bike ride. If we could switch a few of our car trips or bike trips, not only would we feel fitter, healthier, and happier, but we'd also reduce our emissions and protect our environment. In fact, if we ride 2 million miles instead of drive, we'll save over 580,000 kilograms of CO2 from entering the atmosphere. That would have taken almost 28,000 trees a whole year to absorb. Starting to get the idea here. Ride your bike. Do you think you can ride 2 million to help make a real impact in your community? Yeah, you individually are not going to ride 2 million, but we collectively can. So there you go. Make sure that your rides count towards our 2 million goal. This is with the league. Every time you log a ride, you can choose a trip purpose. When you log a ride for transportation, to work, a meeting, or another destination, those miles contribute towards our goal of replacing 2 million miles of car trips and bike trips. And then, of course, your first step is you can register at the league, register for Love to Ride. At the registration, you'll be asked some quick questions, gauge your riding level, motivations, and barriers. Once you have an account, you can start logging rides on your profile and connect Strava to automatically log your rides. A lot of you already have Strava, so you're already set there. So this is a good thing, and it May is Bike Month, and this is like super, super important. So let's do it. If you are using a ride logging app such as Strava, your rides may be listed as fun and fitness trips. These can easily be changed on your profile, and you can just edit it. So that's pretty simple stuff. Yeah, so it is that time. Now, the other thing that happens is there is a Bike to Work Week, which is the third week in May, and that is an effort to get more people to attempt to ride their bicycle to work, or at least either one day of that week, or maybe all days of that week. If you're really ambitious, that'd be really cool too. This is also a time when you can, I believe there's a bike to school week that's involved with this too, and you can encourage kids to ride their bikes to school. You know, get a community organization together, maybe your neighborhood, and, you know, ride with your kids and be there to monitor the activity and get them to understand what it's like to ride their bike to school. Cool stuff. You know, it's all a matter of do it, realize it, and then eventually you'll become it. So you just got to get in there. Now, I did have another little click in here, and I didn't go to it, but I'm going to click it right now so it'll be brand new. Apparently, the United States Census Bureau has recognized National Bike Month, May of 2023. And so they have listed here, the National Bike and Roll to School Day is actually May 3rd. Which would be just be in a couple of days.
Yes.
National Bike Ride a Bike Day is May 7th. Bike to Work Week is May 15th through the 21st. And Bike to Work Day is May 19th, 2023. That would be a Friday. And that is, I know that we have usually a celebration at our state capital. Many state capitals do. And that is one of those things. In the middle of all that, say the 17th of May, that is the International Ride of Silence Day. And we will be, it seems weird to celebrate, but we will be commemorating people who have...
Observing
people. Thank you. That's a good word. Observing people who have either been hit by a motorized vehicle or hit by a motorized vehicle and died while riding their bicycle. And that is a, we are running our Connecticut chapter of that in Storrs, Connecticut, up right next to the community center and the town hall. And we're going to be meeting there. And there's always information on the Bicycle Talk site on that one. I really, really like to get a lot of people showing up to this thing. I'm looking for hundreds. Very ambitious. But it would be just a really cool thing. We are being escorted by the generosity of the University of Connecticut Police Department, who helped us with this last year, and they were super stoked about it. They loved it. They had a great time. They got to be, you know, traffic police, and they got to rush to the intersections and stop the traffic and do that. It was just such a cool thing. Very, very cool event. So anyway, we are doing that again. The one catch, and this is a big catch for me, because any of you who know me know that this is probably one of the more difficult things I have to do. Not ride my bike, but be quiet for 3.5 miles, because it is a ride of silence. Anyway, if you'd like more information on it, please reach out to us and bring people with you. Please, please. Oh, Paul, very good. You're going to bring 3 people with you. Yes. Love it. Love it. Love it. So anyway, the International Ride of Silence is actually, you can go directly to their website, and you can read all about the International Ride of Silence, where it came from, how it was established, and it was because a friend lost a friend, basically, is what happened, and it was decided to start this. It caught on, it went nationwide, it happens all over the world. It's great. It's just a cool thing. So anyway, that's all happening in May. This is May. May's, but there's more happening in May. There's so much more happening in May. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. And first of all, just so we are aware, I'm going to go over to the bicycle racing page of this production today. And I will note here, in a major shakeup, organizers, Unipublic, have significantly revamped and newly named La Vuelta Femenina, which expanded to 7 stages with a mountaintop finish at Lagos de Covadonga, and moved it to spring. So the Vuelta, which is normally a late August, early September event in Spain for the men's race, is going to be starting today, May 1st through the 7th in Spain. And it was formerly known as the Challenge La Vuelta, and it started as a one-day race in Madrid in 2015, expanded to 2 stages in 2018. A 3rd stage was added in 2020. The race was further expanded in 2021 to 4 stages, then last year to 5 stages. This year, the Peloton races over 700 kilometers with more than 8,500 meters of elevation across 7 stages. A mix of sprint and undulating early stages make way for a challenging final stage with the Lagos de Covadonga, a 16-kilometer ascent with an average of 7.4%, where the overall champion will be crowned. So that's coming up. But then again, I've also been talking a lot about this. Guess what starts on Saturday, May 6th, Franny?
Starts on May. Your sister's birthday. Happy birthday,
it
Susan.
It is my sister's birthday. It is. So happy birthday to my sister, Susan. But it is more than just that. It happens in Abruzzo. And in Abruzzo, this is the beginning of the 2023 Giro d'Italia. Yes, sirree.
Oh! Yep,
yeah, this is it. And this is kind of interesting, because this was the time that I was in the hospital 2 years ago.
Right. And, yes, you were watching it in the hospital. That's right.
I was watching the Giro on my laptop computer, and
it was... And all the cardiologists got excited and watched it with you.
And the... Well, actually, it was my surgeon who walked in after... no offense to him. He's a very, very busy man, and I do appreciate him for everything that he has done for me. It's just really good guy. Really good guy. He finally wandered in Monday night. My surgery was scheduled for Tuesday morning, and I was watching the 2nd stage of the Giro, and he walked in, and he looked and he went, "Hi, Ron." And I went, "Yeah." And I went, "Oh, Dr. Hammond, how are you?" And I said, "I've been waiting to talk to you." And he had, of course, paperwork for me to sign because, you know, you got to sign your life away when you're about to lose your life, maybe or not. Anyway, he looks over my shoulder and goes, "Is that European bike racing you're watching?" And I went, "Well, as a matter of fact, it is. It's day two of the Giro d'Italia." And he kind of looked at me. I said, "The Tour of Italy." And he went, "Oh, my God." He goes, "I have to tell you, I fell in love with European bike racing 17 years ago." So immediately my assumption is, as it would be, right? The guy rides a bike, right? No, he doesn't ride a bike. He just loves watching bike racing. That's it. That's it. He doesn't ride, but he loves to watch bike racing. So he got, I think he got sucked in during the, that dopey guy stage where he was winning all the races, but he was all doped up. We try not to mention his name. Stephen Colbert doesn't mention the ex-president's name either, does he?
No, he won't
say. So I think we're just going to say, you know, that guy with the big ego who thought he was something but really wasn't.
The former president.
Well, we're talking about the former Tour de France.
Him.
Him, that one. That's who I'm really talking about. So anyway, we will move on that one. But anyway, he immediately talks to me about bike racing. He starts asking all sorts of questions. And I said, "Pick my brain. I'll explain it to you." Did it for a few years. Not on that level right there, but definitely on the amateur level. And we had a really pleasant conversation about bicycle racing. And then I went on to sign my life away. And next day, they cracked me open and off we went. So it felt really good to have a surgeon working on me that had a great appreciation for people who ride bicycles. Instead of looking at me as, "Oh, you're one of those guys that's in my way on the road." You know, it was nice. It was kind of nice. And of course, when he was done with my surgery, he came in to talk to me about it afterwards. And his exact words, which I will never forget to this day, is that everything went really well. I spent a little extra time, wanted to make sure I got everything really right. He said, seeing all the work that you've put into your heart and the condition that it's in, he said, "I have to tell you, your heart is magnificent." Magnificent. Those were his words. And he said he had never seen as much collateral arterial build around the heart as he had seen in my heart. And he said, "It's the years of cardiovascular exercise." Did I ever tell you you should ride your bike? Yeah. Did I ever tell you it might save your life? Well, my surgeon said, "You literally saved your own life." He said, "You had a 30% capacity of operation of your heart." He said, "No one should be able to live through that." And he said, "You're still here and you didn't have a heart attack." He said, "You saved your own life." So this is why we ride bicycles. It's one of the reasons why I ride bicycles.
I see.
I also ride my bike because I really like to ride my bike. It's kind of a cool thing.
Also, I want to throw in there was also me and Randy Friedman and Corey Clark. We also helped save your life.
I have a lot of folks that are in the medical world that are surrounding me. So it
and said, "Go to the doctor."
Yeah, go to the doctor. Right. Go to the doctor. So I did. Guess what? I'm better now. So all is good, and that's really wonderful. But anyway, it's the Giro. Wow. It begins with a spectacular 18.4-kilometer time trial on a bike path along the Abruzzo coast and end with a circuit stage in historic Rome with a total of 70.6 kilometers of time trialing, 7 summit finishes, and a tough final week through the Dolomites and the Julian Alps. Woohoo! Can't wait. Oh boy. So I did a little, sneak preview type stuff and, went to the Giro site because I kind of wanted to see what was going on. There's some stuff going on. It's kind of cool. It's, we're looking at, where is it? Where's my site here? That's that. I just lost it. There it is. It's here. So anyway, the 2023 route is of course, you can go directly to the Giro route, the Giro site, and you can check it out there, or you can go to places like Cycling News, which is another, you know, world center of cycling that you can check online, and you can check out the route as far as it goes. So just really, really, really spectacular good stuff. And they have a breakdown stage by stage as far as that goes, in which starts, of course, with that time trial, and then a 201 kilometer flat stage on the day following that, on the 7th, on the 8th, 216 kilometers of medium mountains, stage 4, 175 kilometers, once again, medium mountains. It looks a little jagged to me. It looks like it might be of concern. And then stage 5, stage 6, they say hilly. And it is. And then it gets, you can definitely see that, you know, the intensity is going to begin becoming more concerning when you get to that point. And of course, stage 7, mountains with a summit finish. And medium mountains on the 8th, a time trial on the 9th, which is 35 kilometers. That's a sizable little time trial. And on the 16th, again, we go hilly, and then medium mountains on stage 12, stage 13, mountain summit finish again, stage 14, hilly, stage 15, mountains. Boy, this sounds like your classic Giro. On stage 17, everybody gets to take a break. Not really. They get to see how fast they can go because it's a flat stage at 195 kilometers. And then it's back to the mountains with summit finishes, both stage 18 and stage 19, followed by another time trial of 18.6 kilometers on stage 20, and then the 135 kilometer flat parade into Rome. So that's our Giro this year. Can't wait. Lots of changes going on. Obviously, we have riders that are, suffering from either injuries or whatever. But, you know, all these early races that they're doing, and even like the Tour of Romandie, is that right? Romania is going on right now, I think. And that is another, you know, they're trying to sort out who will be best for what races, because we have the big three in front of us here. Tadej Pogačar, we might, I say might, see him at the Tour de France. We're hoping. It was a pretty major fracture that he had. That was a nasty, nasty crash. The more details coming in, I kept looking and looking and looking, by the way, for video footage of the crash. Nobody's got it. I've got pictures of him getting into the team car after, you know, they picked him up off the pavement, and there are remnants of his shorts and jersey still on his body, but he's pretty bruised up, pretty scraped up. But he's got a screw holding his wrist together right now, so that has to be taken out, maybe one or two screws, can't remember exactly. It's, if he can keep his fitness up, then he'll be fine. I read a little piece about it, and they were talking about they were planning on giving him a quote-unquote week off because they needed to bring his training back down to let him recover before going back to the next phases. But I don't believe he was slated to be in the Giro this year. I think he was just going for the Tour de France. So he may make it. He may get a lot of rest beforehand. Hopefully he stays race sharp. He is just an incredible rider. And between him and Evenepoel, we got some racing coming up. We got some serious racing coming up. And it should be a good time. And then let's not discount the Wout van Aerts and the Matthew Vanderpoels out there, because they're going real well right now. So, we'll see what happens, but it's the Tour of Italy right now. I will be watching it on a daily basis starting on the 6th of May, because that's when it all starts and we dive into this thing, and I just can't wait. Oh, it's so much fun. This is one of my favorite races. On the big three, I like this one because there are one of the reasons why it gets favoritism is because sometimes, not always, they are climbing up into the Italian Alps, and there's still a lot of snow on the ground. And they're going through, like, walls of snow and ice that are on the sides of the road. And it's epic. It's unbelievable. Sometimes they hit snowstorms. That's another thing that can happen. There was a year where they had to change the route because you couldn't get there because it was completely blocked over and they weren't able to plow through it. And so they had to change the tour route. If you've ever looked at any of the photos that have come from the Giro, some of those photos of them riding along the Italian coast with these sheer rock walls next to them, it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. And the other thing that I have always said about the Giro versus some of the others, like especially the Tour de France, which is the big, you know, that's the big advertisement one. That's where that one seems to get a lot more attention than a lot of other races get. But the climbs in the Giro are ungodly. They're just nasty, steep, 20%+ walls. And maybe it's the Italian Alps tend to be a little steeper in places, although it seems over the last couple of years, as I've been following the Tour de France closely too, that they're starting to throw a little bit more of that into the Tour de France. So anyway, there's that. So you've got factors involved. First of all, steeper climbs. Second of all, unbelievable weather. You know, it could be really cold and, you know, they got to go 220 kilometers that day. And you just don't know what you're going to get. You're going to get wind. You're going to get all these different weather conditions that you don't generally get as much of as at the Tour de France. You know, you go on to the Vuelta and then we talk about the heat and it's the opposite end of the spectrum there. It's not the cold anymore, it's more the heat when you get to the Vuelta. But the Giro has some what I would call adverse weather conditions, and that also, you know, brings a lot to it. I also love the little Italian villages they go through. They're just like these quaint, beautiful little tiny villages, narrow roads. It's just it's the Giro. Maybe it's because I'm half Italian. Maybe that has something to do with it. They're not going to go super close to my friends in Senegalia this year. Close, but not real close. A couple of years ago, my friend Fabrizio, who lives in Senegalia and maintains the same last name as I have, although we don't know if we're related, but we're pretty sure we must be in some way since we both have the same last name, and also it's an unusual name in Italy in general. It's basically very much that it's a regional name. Yeah, it comes from that region only in Italy. So my ancestors are from Senegalia, which is on the Adriatic Sea. It's on the east coast of Italy. And it's a very, very pretty area. I've never been, but someday maybe I'll get there. But I remember a couple of years ago when he had come to visit, he said that it was within 20 miles of his town that they passed by. And I asked him if he went to look, and he said no. It's like, oh my God, how can you not? Like, it's 20 miles. Ride your bike there. Watch the race go by. Ride your bike back home. Great day. Anyway, that's what's going on there. But it's not super close to him this year, I don't think. I have to double-check my map to be sure, but it doesn't look like it's going to reach all the way out by the east coast of Italy this year as much. Or not that part of it, anyway. So, anyway, the Giro, it's a beautiful thing. It's just a beautiful thing. So, let's see, what else? We'll be keeping you guys up to date as far as, you know, highlights from the Giro. I'm sure there's going to be many of those highlights. We'll keep our eyes on the Vuelta race for the women and find out what's going on there. That's a 7-day race, and that should have some excitement there. There's three women that are very, very strong contenders for it. They've been back and forth at each other a lot this season. They've also, a couple of them were also cyclocross riders, so they, you know, there's a lot of things going on there. So other things that we have here on my list. So this I thought was kind of interesting. The e-bikes. Back to e-bikes. It's always back to e-bikes. E-bikes are probably one of the biggest noisemakers in the press of everything out there. And there's a reason why, obviously. Elon Musk feels that e-bikes are going to take over the sale of automobiles by 2030. That's an interesting story. Is he right? Maybe. Is he wrong? Maybe. Is he a visionary? Yes. Does he see things that a lot of people don't see? Yes. He may not be anyone's favorite person, but I can tell you this man is so locked into technology and so knowledgeable about trends and where things are going. I'm not gonna discount what he's saying. And what does it mean? It means that the biggest news in the American International Motorcycle Expo, motorcycle, listen carefully, in February this past year wasn't motorcycles. According to attendees that this author spoke with, the really big news this year was and is e-bikes. The motorcycle industry is looking at e-bikes. I want you to think about this just for a minute. Not the bicycle industry, the motorcycle industry. That means that there is some very, very serious potential for money and profit in the future. Intense brand e-bikes are being distributed to power sport dealers by Parts Unlimited. Tucker Distributing announced it will be distributing Cannondale's e-bikes to the power sports industry. In a Brain article last year written by Ray Keener, there was a claim that 30% of its dealer base was, of Aventon's dealer base, was power sports type shops. And more than a dozen e-bike brands, from familiar names like Felt, Bianchi, to a heavy motorcycle hitters like Yamaha, Triumph, Ducati, showed their e-bike models this year at the American International Motorcycle Expo, hoping to snare some interest from the power sports dealers. Which shouldn't be too hard to snare, because they're kind of, I understand the whole power sport thing. Now, this is an entirely different thing, but it's because, you know, we're talking electric assist pedal bicycles. But according to the research firm Markets and Markets, this additional category is set to grow from $49.7 billion in 2022 to $80.6 billion by 2027. And when you're forecasting just over $30 billion worth of growth for e-bikes in the power sports market alone over the next 5 years, dealers tend to pay attention. Yeah. This is it. This is what's going on. E-bikes are a big deal. Overall, e-bikes enjoyed a record year in 2022, growing to more than 10% of the pedal-only bike imports for the first time, although this was largely because the imports of regular bikes were so limited that year. Make no mistake, the power sports industry is hungry for a slice of the IBD quality e-bike market share. So if you are a bicycle dealer and you are listening to this and you have not yet jump, time to jump, man. These guys are going to come in and they're going to take away a potential that you have to be part of a huge, huge growth market. Huge. I mean, we're not kidding here. All right. This is the real deal. This is happening. It's not the fluke that it was 20 years ago when I first got into it. And I still have that bike sitting downstairs in my garage. It still works. But it was still, it had not caught on. My dealers were looking at me like, what's happened to Ron Meniza? He's turned into one of those salespeople, you know, because he's hawking these e-bikes. And it's like, No, man, you gotta open your eyes and take a look outside the box. It's a great place to look.
I was sitting at my desk and I noticed a vehicle drive up onto the sidewalk and around into the corner, you know, next to the door of my office.
Yep.
And somebody came in and bought supplements and left. And then when I saw the person leave, I realized they were riding an e-bike.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah.
Because it's an easy way to transport yourself. You don't have to put as much effort into it. You don't get sweaty. It's a perfect commuter bike. You can put 30 pounds of groceries on the back of the thing and not really know that they're there. It makes it a whole lot easier to get around. So, anyway, I'm moving on to events because I've got to wrap things up because it's getting close. May is bike month. What are you doing?
That's me wrapping things up and also pedaling with my hands.
Oh, wrapping and pedaling. Very nice. All right. Fran, for those of you who are listening to this in an audio file, that is Fran moving her hands in front of the microphone and the camera. So May is bike month. All right. This is a good thing. It's a really good thing. We're going to pay a lot of attention to that this month. I'm hoping to go on to the local radio show here. I'm putting the word out with Wayne today. Hello, Safe Street friends. Join us for the Vision Zero Design Workshop May 9th at 5:30 p.m. at Keeney Pond House on 323 Edgewood Street. I don't know if that's... Keeney Pond House must be in Keeney Park in Hartford. Sorry. Yes, that's where it is. And that is happening on the 9th at 5:30 p.m. Might be kind of a cool thing to check out. I will share that with you on the site, or you can go to the folks at BCCO, and they will have information for that. BCCO in Hartford. May 1st through the 31st is the annual Bicycles on Main in Wethersfield, Connecticut. You really got to go check it out. We're going to do that this year. We're going to ride over there. We'll do a rail trail from like East Hartford and work our way over or something and do that, because it's not, their trails aren't quite complete yet. But anyway, so the events take place through the month of May on Main Street. Parking is available at the Keeney Center on 200 Main Street in Wethersfield. And, of course, what else do we have? We've got the Giro coming up. We talked about that. We've got the International Ride of Silence on May 17th coming up. It's another thing going on here. We got so many things going on. The, let's see, the Thread City Cyclers, July 23rd, 2023. It's their Quiet Corner Bike Tour event. The 19th of August is the Steeplechase Bike Tour. And that's it. Finishing points. Don't forget about the game, the bicycle game in the Connecticut Historical Society in Hartford. Wethersfield's Bikes on Main. May is Bike Month. The Giro. Wow, there's a lot going on. I'll say it again. It won't be my last time. Get loud. Get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, the price of gas, the lack of places to safely ride, and join the revolution of change. Remember, when presenting to your local governments, come with solutions, not complaints or problems. Positive beats negative every time. Please support your local bike shop. Respect one another. It's 2023. Initiate, participate, ride your bike, tell everyone you know. And finally, take on the Pedal and Run Challenge. If you have a motorized vehicle, park it a day and use your bike just one day a week. You might surprise yourself. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch. It's a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have been listening to this on Facebook Live, you can leave comments below, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. If you want to contribute information, send me an email. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep that rubber side down, the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you for listening.